This live broadcast of the Petersburg School Board meeting is brought to you by KFSK and Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, helping clients find out how to protect any valuable asset, from stamp or teacup collections to houses and boats of all sizes, and everything in between. Plenty of information from the local agents is available. Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, 772-3858.
Sharon, could you please determine a quorum? Here. Absent.
Here.
Don Ware.
Absent.
Cheryl Fowler.
Here.
Hey, we have a quorum. Would you please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, approval of the agenda. We do not have any additions to the agenda, that I know of.
I'll move to approve the agenda for August 20th, 2013 as written.
I'll second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve the agenda for August 20th as it's written. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes 3-0. Student representative report, Nicole.
So the school hasn't even started yet. It starts on September 3rd, the day after Labor Day, which is in 14 days in case you haven't started counting. And sports are already getting kicked off. We have volleyball started, and it's going to go to Juneau on the 31st of this month, and then it's going to go to Sitka on September 28th, and then on October 5th, it'll be at home, and then November 7th through 8th, it'll be versing Sitka. And swim, they're going to Craig on the 6th and 7th of September, and then in Ketchikan, they'll be there on the 21st, and then Juneau on the 5th and 6th of October, and then they're going to host Sitka and Juneau on the 18th and 19th of October, and then regionals will be in Juneau on the 1st and 2nd of November, and then state will be in Juneau also on the 7th and 8th of October. And then Music Fest will be here this year, October 21st through the 23rd. And then Student Council OSOG will be in Juneau this year on the 18th and 19th.
So state swimming is going to be in Juneau?
Yeah.
Oh, so that's a big change.
Carry on up there.
And we won't be there for it because it's been typically on the same weekend as the AASB, the school board conference, and we've been able to go. So that's been kind of fun for us.
November 7th, 8th.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then cross country, our first meet is in Ketchikan, so we're going the opposite way of volleyball on the 31st. And then Kowak is on the 7th, and then we go to Wrangell on the 14th, and then Juneau on the 21st, and then Sitka as regionals on the 28th, and then Anchorage on the 5th is state. And that's all that's going on for school right now, even though there is no school.
Thank you, but it sounds like the sports are off to a roaring good start. Okay, correspondence. Do we have any correspondence?
No, we do not.
No. Okay, comments from the audience unrelated to agenda items? Comments from the audience related to agenda items. Comments from board members. Okay, I had talked about increasing the number of board members, and I think that Rob did a little looking into that. And do you want to report? Talk about that now, or do you want to talk about it during your report?
I can do it during the report if you'd like.
Sure. Consent agenda. Do we have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
I make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I second it.
Motion's been moved and seconded to approve the consent agenda. Sharon, would you please call the roll?
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes.
Cheryl File?
Yes.
Gene Ellis?
Yes. Motion passes 3-0. Administrative report, superintendent report.
All right. Well, Nicole,
has just left. I was going to welcome Nicole back as our student representative and congratulate her on her election to the post. But she's going to go out and enjoy this beautiful evening, so we're thrilled to have her back. I'm going to make this report very short because the principals and the dean of activities and maintenance have several things to report on. I don't want to repeat anything that they're saying. So, but we do have the grant from Alaska Department of Health and Social Services for Petersburg, and that has been officially named for our district the Healthy Living Grant. We're going to be calling it Healthy Living. We just didn't like the assigned title because it sounded very governmental and bureaucratic in the originally. Ginger Evans, the grant coordinator, will be here to present to the board about the grant at a later meeting, probably September, October, probably the later one, October, November, once she gets it rolling and gets on her feet and feels comfortable with it. So we're thrilled with what she's done so far. It's been busy. And then a report on the 5-member versus 7-member board construct. I was directed by the board to do some research on that. Found that it's actually part of the borough charter that the school district has a 5-member board. And in order to begin to change that, it would have to have an affirmative vote of a majority of the board members. Then it goes before the people at a full election. About changing from 5 to 7, it would be about an 18-month process and kind of involved. And then I did some research on the efficacy of 5-member versus 7-member boards and the size of the organization, and discovered that, in fact, there are some research that would say or says that you increase the complexity of your organization and your ability to get things done when you move from 5 to 7 members, even though you may hopefully increase your attendance rate at meetings. You also increase, there's research said you increase the length of meetings because discussion becomes longer because there's exponential discussion that takes place. So there were a lot of reasons to kind of rethink that, and if at some point in the future the board would see fit to go from 5 to 7 members, the process is there. It's a lengthy and involved process which involves a full vote of the people. And upon that report back to the chair, she elected to kind of revisit that and say, well, it was more, we're just hoping to increase participation. So that option is out there in the future, but we're probably not going to pursue it now.
Yeah, and basically I was the one that was pushing it, and after just discussing with Rob what he had found and how it worked, I decided, okay, we'll stick with this. I think my frustration is that it is hard to get enough people at the meetings. I mean, it seems like just 3 people making some important decisions doesn't seem like a lot of people. But at this point, I chose not to pursue it any further.
Valid point. And with that, we've been very busy all summer in the business office and in the district office. Is just lots of things happening and a lot of exciting things you'll hear from the district office staff. I will yield my time to the district office staff and the principals and everybody else.
Okay. So you're done with your report?
I am done with my report.
Thank you. So, maintenance report. Ty Peterson.
Hello. So we've been staying pretty busy this summer. And
I think that's probably an understatement.
Yeah. The big project we got done was the library elementary, which was a small remodel, actually, and rearrangement of that. And we're happy with the way it came out. It's not completely reassembled yet, but it will be there. And then, of course, the auditorium, which was a lot of painting and curtains and carpet and things there. And to go with the auditorium, it's, from what I understand, the new digital equipment for Compass Theater will be here, I think, like the 26th of this month.
So you actually were able to purchase the necessary equipment.
Yep,
great.
And it's
wonderful.
On its way and will be installed at the end of this month. So
good.
That will be exciting. In addition to that, we've been doing a lot of the deep cleaning and everything that goes with the summer. And I'd like to thank my crew, Vicki McIntosh and Brian Anderson and Ed Herman and Dan Tate and Dan Yuen, our new employee. They've all been sticking with it really good all summer and have taken on a lot of projects themselves. So I think the school will be in good shape when it starts. And a short update on the boiler retubing that was approved at the last meeting. They ordered the tubes, and they should be here next week too. Just the tubes itself. They haven't actually scheduled their work yet, but they're thinking around that first week of September they'll come to town and start that project.
Good. Any other questions for Ty?
Auditorium looks great.
It does.
Thank you.
And the library looks very fun with those bookworms.
Yeah.
They turned the air ducts into bookworms. They're very cute.
Yes. We took Jim Schwartz's name off them.
Aww.
Oh, they're so cute.
Haven't seen those, I don't believe.
Okay. Thank you
very much. Yep. Thanks for your hard work. Okay. Director of Finance, Karen Quitlin.
I shall echo the theme of very busy this summer. July, we spend ordering teacher material, teacher supplies, everything that the school uses, at least for the beginning of the school year. So all that's done. It's all, most of it's here. Few things we had to follow up on this week. So got that done. I painted the office this summer, and I wanted to thank Ty and Vicki McIntosh for all their help on my spur of the moment. Can you move the file cabinet so I can paint the walls? They did a great job accommodating me, and also Ty did a great job assembling new desks. So I have new desks in my office. So let's see. The end of July, I received a scholarship to attend a leadership conference in Juneau for the Alaska Association of School Business Officials, and that was a very rewarding experience. We worked on management review rubric for best practices in school business. So that was really quite fun, actually. First week of August, we had our audit, and that went pretty smoothly. I'm pretty pleased with how that went. We're just gearing up now for staff coming back and the students coming back, and that's about all we've been working on. Next month, I'm hoping to... way back in March, you approved the procurement card process. We submitted the application. We're done with that. We've been approved. I have the first few cards locked in the office, and I'm working on the policy and the user agreements for those right now. So I'm hoping to present that next month. So, any questions?
Thank you very much, and thanks for your hard work too. And even painting the office, which goes above and beyond the call of duty. Okay, principal's report. Rick Dormer, high school.
Hello.
And middle school.
Yeah. So what?
Principal. I said high school, and she said and middle school.
And middle school principal. Thank you for chiming that in. Yeah. Yeah.
Don't we'll leave middle school out.
No, we don't. We don't. Very important. Yeah. I mean, we're not full bore into school, as everyone knows, but still a lot going on. The majority of, you know, all sports have started, and I'll leave that for Jamie's activity report, so that's exciting. They're up and going. I was as a previous fall coach in a previous life, I've always excited. I always enjoyed that kind of feels like school started, but the kids aren't going to classes yet, and they always show up. They seem to have a little more energy when they haven't been in school all day. They were good practices. I remember those days. The majority of my work recently has been just with new hires and transfers within the districts that we'll get to in the board agenda later as we transfer that, but just changes to the schedule, and it's all, to be honest, at the end of it, I think it's a better schedule than I kind of hoped for at the beginning, knowing just with the resignation and moving and lots of needs to fill. I think it's very good. I'm actually very pleased, and the staff, of course, is excellent. Of course, we wouldn't have brought anyone over or hired anyone who wasn't, but it's excellent. So I'm excited for that, and again, lots of input from lots of people here, and Rachel Etcher, some work, some summertime phone calls and emails to try to piece it all together. So that's been a lot of the recent work has been just the new hires. This is a year where the curriculum continues to go on. The math curriculum will continue this year to probably throughout the entire year to continue to refine that. Middle school textbooks are here, and high school textbooks have been ordered, so it's kind of exciting using some of the new materials, but the actual putting the curriculum to a combination of new and old standards is continuing to go on, and that's just a lot of work. And then the English language arts curriculum will begin this year, and this is district-wide, so not just middle school or high school, but also elementary school, so bless you. That will begin this year, and in fact, they're kicking us off already for mid-September. Several of us are going up to Anchorage again for one of their conferences, and they've been very good, the ones we went to in the past, to give us some tools to in this difficult transition. So those are things that are going on this year, if you look at kind of as the year as a whole. people are listening, or people here that have kids. Again, we register kids next week, so that's happening. So parents, hopefully ready, and time to go in and pay some of the fees. And laptop rollouts begin next week, so a lot of the high school kids will get their laptops next week. And again, middle school kids getting in and signed up for classes and talking about their activities will start soon. So we're in full bore, and just remind everybody to hopefully you got something in the mail and information's on the website. Parents out there who need to register if they're wondering when to do that. I'm not going to go through the list of every day for every kid, but it's all on the website, or call the district office if you need information.
There will be people in the district office starting Monday?
There are people in the district office now, but I mean not right now, but during this week. But yeah, on Monday we'll have
all
of our all the secretaries, the admin assistants will be in there in both offices. Offices will be open.
I meant the high school middle school office.
Yes.
Well, because there was somebody wondering about where to get the supply list for middle school. So
right. Yeah, I heard something about supplies. So we don't, as far as at least in my experience, have never actually published a supply list for middle school kids.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I know we don't for high school kids, I'm sure on that one. So someone had said maybe in sixth grade in years past, but I haven't got anything from the teachers.
The individual teachers may do that.
Yes, they may, and they may just wait till the kids show up and hope, I know it's a little trickier, and I'm a parent who already about 2 months ago bought some of the school supplies, so I just kind of winged it and hope we got it all right. So see how
but
it goes.
The elementary, you'll mention that or talk about it.
Eric will talk about the elementary supply list.
Okay.
And it's a great question, especially for us sixth grade parents who are wondering. We've had supply lists every year, and do we have one now? And the answer is no.
And that one, I didn't know the answer, so thank you.
No problem. One thing I did want to say is that on this coming Thursday, a week from Thursday, when the freshmen do register and do the laptop rollout, and we do open, teachers will be there an hour early before laptop rollout at 5 p.m., and that'll also be on the website and available just for freshman parents and kids if they want to walk through and check out their locker again and have a little bit of time before they go get their laptop at 6 p.m. So teachers will be in their rooms and stuff just to kind of an open house for, it's intended for freshmen. Obviously, any high school parent that would like to show up early and do that, but we did that last year, and a lot of parents, I think, took advantage just to kind of get the feelers out for the high school and what it'll be like when they're in there full time. So, yeah.
What if they miss that?
They can always come in during registration time, but not the teachers don't necessarily really be in their rooms until the first day of school.
Like, what if they miss their laptop rollout? Is there another time?
There will be I know there'll be a makeup time. We will still require, before the laptop goes home, all kids will have access to a laptop on the first day of school. So if parents out of town, I know we have a lot of kids fishing, a lot of families fishing. So if they miss that for laptops, they will still they'll still have one for school, but we will ask for a parent and a student to go in a makeup meeting. There'll be some makeup ones with Mr. KP.
Okay.
And but they won't be allowed to take it home until they've sat through that and signed the agreement, because they're expensive and our insurance is too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good question. And then finally, too, just parents, thinking about getting back into it, the second week of school, Mitkoff Middle School is already scheduled one for Thursday night, and the high school will do something similar, a back-to-school night, where we'll be open at night and let parents come in and look at the kids' schedules, and we'll hand those out and let them get around to see their teachers, both in the middle school and in the high school.
So do you have a date for that, the back-to-school
The high school
night?
Is not set for sure. Thursday, I don't have the date written down here, but I know it's the second week of school, the Thursday, is back-to-school night for Mitkoff Middle School. The staff set that last spring. The high school sometimes piggybacks and does the same time, but sometimes there's a lot of conflicts with parents. We don't like to
12th.
Have them pulled. 12th, thank you. So, yeah. So, again, another opportunity for parents to get in there and see the school and their kids' schedule and meet teachers.
Okay.
That's my report.
Can I make a request on that night that maybe something is handed out on all the activities that kids can participate in the middle school? Because that was one of the couple of middle school parents had talked to me about, not when they made that transition to middle school. It was their first kid going in. They weren't sure of even the activities. And, of course, their kid wasn't forthcoming. And, look at all these things I can get involved in, Mom. And it's, I just thought maybe some sort of rundown of all the between both physical activities as well as clubs or something.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good idea.
For parents to get, not necessarily the kids, but
the parents.
Oh, perfect. That sounds good. Okay, great.
Yeah, and this is especially important. You're having cross country and track now school sponsored, mm-hmm. as you all voted on, but a lot of kids and parents probably don't know about that.
Yeah. Okay, sounds good.
Yeah, thanks. Other questions or comments? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, Jamie Cabral, Activities Director. I skipped Erica. Sorry about that. Erica Clube Painter, elementary school. How could I possibly miss you? I don't know.
I think my brain's fried already. But here we are. The excitement is building. Yes, class lists are coming out in the newspaper this week. So that's always one big question. And supply lists are on the website, on the Stedman Elementary page, and also downtown at the various stores in town that sell that type of material. So that's always a very important question this time of year for elementary school. Also, we are, as Rick mentioned, there was quite a bit of shuffling going on during the summer, but I do feel like we're all really feeling good about how it's all turning out. We've got, I think, the right people in the right places, and we're feeling good about it. So some good changes, I think. So we're excited to welcome Carrie Curtis to our staff and still also have Mrs. Lenhardt helping us do some additional support with our Title I transition and helping her get on board as well. So we're excited about that. What else has been going on? Summer school. We had summer school this going on, just finished up this last week, actually. So thanks to Barb Marifern and Anna Larson and Jill Lenhardt, actually, for conducting a great summer school for our students. Lots of work continuing, again, as Rick mentioned, moving into this standards work. We actually had quite a bit of work going on by teachers throughout the summer on the math standards and aligning curriculum, trying to get ready to jump in this year, even though we're still in transition, where we're still being assessed on sort of the old standards, but we're implementing the new, and so it's going to be a brave and wonderful next few years. But we're up for the challenge, so just lots of work going on by the teachers and lots more work to come. So looking forward to that the training in Anchorage in September to get more information there. Also, I did want to recognize Ty and the crew for the work in the library. We're excited about that, the first phase of that process, so we're excited about that. PBIS, we're kicking that off. Our Positive Behavior Intervention Support Program will be we'll have a kickoff assembly for that actually right in the first week of school, and it'll be fun, and we can guarantee a little bit of entertainment by the staff members. That's all I'm going to say about that. No, it'll be good. And I think we actually are going to do a little back-to-school night this year, too, even with our Intro to My Child. We want to do a little more information, I think, for parents about PBIS and also maybe just kind of that initial, what's going on in my kid's class? What's going on with these standards? What does this look, there's a lot of stuff going on right now. So doing it fairly soon in the year so that it doesn't become all about, well, what's going on with my kid's reading grade, but more about, this is what's happening in our school. So date to be mentioned about that. And Girls on the Run program, I just wanted to put in a little plug for that. We're reinvigorating that this year. I wanted to thank Julie, one of our local girls here, Julie O'Neill, now Julie Walker, who works for AWARE in Juneau and came down and provided the training this last weekend. On Saturday, we had a group of four. Well, there were six of us there. I made it half of the day. Joyce Burke-Biggs is the coordinator for it, and then we had four community volunteers who are going to be working with that program. And so it starts right away at the beginning of the year, and it's for third, fourth, and fifth grade girls, a self-esteem building program, not just about running, but that's kind of the method for working with the young women. So excited about that program as well. And I think that's enough. Any questions for me?
Thank you very much. All righty, now, Activities Director, Jamie Cabral.
Two computers. Lots of stuff going on. Hello, all. Nicole was saying, all of our fall sports are underway. Cross country has been going now for, this is week three
of their cross-country season, and they have a lot of numbers out for cross-country right now. I think they're up to about 21, 22 running cross-country. We have 17 on the list for swim and 17 for volleyball. So about 50 kids out there running around town. Volleyball is going 6:30 in the morning, so seeing their bright eyes and not so bushy tails, though they're getting back in the groove. This week was much better. And then cross country, they're starting at 8:30 in the morning, running around and did some time trials today. So very exciting for them as they get rolling. And then wrestling will be here in about a month. We'll be starting up as well for high school wrestling. So away we go. Football across Alaska has started already. They've had games last weekend already. It was the first week of Alaska State football, so they are off and running as we speak. So staying busy.
But no football in Petersburg.
No football in Petersburg. No football. A lot of the boys want it, though. I'm going, might have to hit the weight room a little bit, but we'll be all right. Couple big things. Rick and I held two meetings for the homeschool bill that passed. We were ready with all the forms ready to go, but we didn't have any attending. We do have some students that will be enrolling in school for the fall athletics, so nothing really coming out of that just yet. So those students out there and parents that are part of a homeschool program or alternative learning program, there still is time to set up a meeting with myself and Mr. Dormer to get students enrolled if they are interested in participating in high school athletics. So that is still
there's
there.
There's at least one swimming, I know.
And they're going
to he's not. He's going to school this year.
Yeah, going to school this year. Yeah, so we're going to have a lot of them just fully enrolling in school. So, and that is we're anxiously waiting to see who else will come up probably later in the year with other activities. We'll probably have more students kind of go through with that too as well. So, one adjustment that we did make was the increase in student fees. It is $100 per activity. However, we do have the cap on there of $340. Once the family hits $340, they do not need to pay for an activity to participate in, and that's a combination of high school, middle school, per family, per household. And so we'll just kind of see it and see if we just kind of watch it. You know, might change year to year. All depends. A lot of the seasons change as well, with some sports traveling more than previous years. Volleyball will feel that effect this year as we travel more than what we did last year. A lot less home activities this year, just because it was that rotation that every town in Southeast has their chance. We will be hosting Southeast Honors Music Festival October 21, 22, 23 here. We have some really, really good conductors coming up from Seattle to be doing that, and that'll be kind of the really talented music people from all over Southeast coming over here to Petersburg that week, so it'll be really exciting. A lot of state tournaments are taking place in Southeast this year. Swimming will be in Juneau, as well as baseball hosted by Sitka this year. So Southeast getting some notoriety there, having been able to finally host an event. And it'll only be here for a year, and then it goes back up north, and then we'll have to bid again for a year, and then it'll go back up north for a three-year cycle. So very exciting to have a state tournament down at Southeast. We're really excited as far as the region. And then the middle school, we do have a form that will be going into the packets when students register so they see the start dates. We do have a tentative schedule already, too, for the entire 13-14 school year. And all of those dates we will have for the students, and as well as the activities website. The activities calendar is all updated through March. So just kind of waiting until we approve at the next activities director meeting for spring activities of 2014. It's a weird number to say.
Now, the schedule we have in our packet, is that for high school? That's middle school.
That is
right?
Middle school, yep.
Grade
yep,
six
a projected,
okay.
Yep. Projected calendar through 2016, I believe. Yeah. So,
is Stikine Wrangle?
Stikine is the tournament that rotates through the small schools in a Stikine conference. So anytime you see Stikine, that's the Stikine tournament. And so it rotates from Wrangell to Metlakatla to Craig to Klawak to us.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and so every school in that conference gets to host one of them. And it'll just do in a rotation. This past year, we hosted volleyball. This year, we'll be hosting wrestling middle school Stikine tournament. And I believe Coach Schwartz and I picked a date for that. I want to say February
I don't see the date, but
No dates on there yet. We haven't finalized dates yet with all the with all the activity directors. A lot of them are trying to find gym time with all their activities going on. So we will get those dates out there. And then a lot of the I have the start dates, just not the competition dates yet, which will solidify here real soon. So our first activities directors meeting is September 28th in Sitka. So we'll be going there. A lot of changes too going around. This year is also a count year for our enrollment for classifications for next year. There is a new classification policy going out. So if we are below, right now it's stating that if we are below 150, we will drop to two-way starting 2014-2015 calendar school year. We will be at that classification for 4 years, regardless if we float up or down in enrollment. So that is a new policy that the ASWA State Board...
So if we're 151, we will have to stay where we are the next 4 years.
Yes. Regardless if we drop to 95. Yeah. Or go up to 320. Which I can see.
Which, yeah.
That would be awesome.
That would be strange.
That would be. So it's a kind of a turning year with the new classification policy and I think.
And what are we at now?
149, I think, the last I saw. We're 162 this year and lost a few. Yeah, so I think the last time I looked at Power School was 149, but the middle school is up high right now. Middle school is very large.
But this is the count year.
But this is the count year, yes. So
I've never wished for lower numbers either, but right now.
We do have the
middle school and grade school.
Exactly. We do have the option of opting up to 3A if we wanted to.
Yeah.
And so that's totally up to us if we want to do something like that. The low numbers are kind of hitting all of Southeast, kind of looks like. And some of the other school districts around Southeast saw them in the news where they've been closing schools and really low enrollment in some places. Sitka football had to postpone their season a little bit because of low numbers coming out. And a lot of them are probably fishing and working still. So they just kind of moved their season ahead a little bit. But participation numbers are strong right now with a lot of kids showing up. So, yeah. Any other questions?
Okay, so what are we supposed to do with the proposal about the middle school travel?
Do we want to do that one right now?
Do we want to
do that one later? Is that on the agenda at all?
We were thinking.
Under my time right now? Okay, perfect.
That's how we had on the agenda.
Perfect. Okay. So on the proposal, what will happen is if we look at projected schedule, cross-country, at Ketchikan, grades 6 through 8. And the reason why 6th graders are allowed to travel on that trip is because that is the only middle school meet that is hosted in Southeast that is very easy for us to get to. For cross-country, there's no conference. So the only activities that we are involved in a conference is basketball, wrestling, and volleyball. That's the only three activities. Cross country and track and field are totally optional, and there's not very many schools that actually offer that. So we are one of the few. And Ketchikan is the only area that has a track that we can go and run on as well. So we could make up one at the ball field, but that'd be really awkward.
So if we're offering cross country or track, their only opportunity is to go to Ketchikan because that's the only other
that's the only
team
place.
In Southeast is doing it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Klawak and Craig does have a cross-country meet for middle school that they correlate with their high school meets, but it is very difficult to get there, and the safety procedures and the length of time away from school is very costly. Otherwise, they'd be on a ferry Wednesday, not come back till the following Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And with going to Ketchikan, the ferry schedule works phenomenal well, so we can go down on a Friday and we're back Sunday night.
Perfect.
So very quick trip down Friday, run Saturday, come back Sunday morning.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess when we added those things last year, I didn't realize that we were the only ones even doing it.
Right. Yep. Yeah. Because Wrangell doesn't offer a track and field. Craig Klawak does have track and field, but very limited numbers, and we're very competitive. Our track and field team is competing with the high school students in Ketchikan, so very impressive.
Okay. Cheryl.
Mm-hmm. I think the reason why we did the track and field, the first meet was, hey, the high school why don't you bring your middle school kids over? And they did compete with the high school. It wasn't like a middle school.
Right.
It wasn't a middle school track and field. It
no,
was high school
they were
track
actually
and field
competing
that they went to.
With the high schoolers,
yeah.
Which actually some of them kind of did better than
they
the
did
high schoolers.
Phenomenal.
So then we, so now it's
it was scary good.
The next time it was
yeah.
a middle school.
The
one.
Next time it was middle
okay.
school, and so it's starting to pick up a little bit. Metlakatla brought a couple kids this time, trying to get involved with track and field as well. So it's kind of a growing sport. It's just now the funds to make a full track. That would be
so
the tough
our
one,
kids,
so.
When they do go, generally compete
right.
with the high school kids.
Yeah. Okay. So they kind of put some high school kids in there, and we run at their track and field community event down in Ketchikan. So it's not a Region 5 track meet where they're running against Juneau Douglas and the other schools. It's kind of like their community track meet that they do. So the community members get to get involved. All the old track and field people that played in college get to come back and relive the glory days too. So so they compete against them.
Okay.
Yep. And same with cross country. Cross country in Ketchikan is the one place that they do host a middle school meet, and so that's why we send them down there as well. We could possibly host one, but that's it's a lot of work, and I don't think we're there yet. But soon we will, I think so. What you think, Joe? Yeah, baby. and then if we look at basketball and cheer. The Stikine, the STI in parentheses, is at Craig this year. It's their rotation. And so on their schedule, it has at Wrangell with grades 6 through 8 because that's what we're allowing the 6th graders to travel. However, they are only allowed to travel to Wrangell and back. So it's a nice close trip, very simple. If parents want to tag along, they are able to tag along on that trip as well if they'd like to go on their own penny. And the other reason why we go south on that one is because the ferry works out well if weather is not ideal. So we like to put all of our middle school kid trips on the ferry now. So we go down on a Friday and we come back Sunday evening as well on those ones because the schedule won't change a whole lot going south. And then those travel days for the sixth graders are if it works with Wrangell's schedule. We're going to try. I know their enrollment is up and down as well at the middle school, so it all depends. But they are working with Monty Buness, their athletic director. He is more than happy to keep working this. We're so close together, we might as well try and do as many things as we can together as well. So, and then the versus Wrangell is when we will host them. They will come here. That way, on that year that we are not hosting the Stikine, we get to have a home event at least, something home for the kids. Wrestling. The Stikine is at home, so we will host. So that is our one home event, and then our one travel trip we are planning on is going over to Wrangell with our grades 6 through 8 and take all of our kids to Wrangell since it is there.
Okay, and when you're talking one travel event, it's per sport, not per child.
Correct.
So
yep.
Some students could be in more than one sport.
Yes. Yep. And all their seasons are separate, so they will never overlap on seasons. Mm. So they will always have the opportunity to participate in every activity if they can, except the boys playing volleyball, although they have been nagging me to start a boys volleyball team. I think Mr. Dormer volunteered to coach that one. And then volleyball next year in 2014, the Stikine tournament is at Wrangell, and then we will host Wrangell for a weekend. So... And then that's just kind of the projected going on throughout the seasons for 2014-15. Could fluctuate, could change. All depends on what happens in those years, too, with numbers and availability. Excuse me. So basically the proposal is sixth graders would be allowed to travel, but their travel will only be to Wrangell. Because of that closeliness, and we can get home faster, not that tough of a trip, and they won't be out of school for that long of days.
Okay, because
so.
It says here that the sixth graders will be allowed to travel in cross country and track and field. It doesn't say where to.
Yep, because they will always go to Ketchikan on that one.
Okay, so that one's Ketchikan.
Yep. And it could be Juneau, depending on if Ketchikan will host their meet. It could fluctuate year to year. Some years they might not.
Okay, so sixth graders could travel to Ketchikan for this one.
And that's it. Yeah, and since track and field and cross country only has that one event, sixth graders will go to travel on that one regardless.
Okay,
yep.
So that's Ketchikan, and then the other events are Wrangell.
Correct.
So basketball, cheerleading, wrestling, and volleyball would all be Wrangell.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
I Okay, so then what this says here is you're going to go, we'll be going to Wrangell with each of these activities every year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep, and Wrangell will be coming here.
Okay.
Yep. If it works in the schedule.
Right.
Yes. When
That's
available.
Nice. I see it now. I have basketball, cheer, and country on the front page, and then...
And then it goes to wrestling, track, and field volleyball.
I guess that's
other.
Basketball, cheer also.
That yep, page, that's basketball, cheer on the other ones. Yeah. Yep.
Got it. Thank you, everybody, for helping me out.
And the one thing that will probably stand out with basketball on the year 2014-15, Schoenbar Middle School in Ketchikan hosts the Schoenbar Shootout, which... is a very large tournament in Southeast that the kids love going to. They treat us very well down there. All the parents get together. They're feeding the kids sausage and pancakes for breakfast, and then they come back and they feed them spaghetti for dinner. That is the one year we'll be able to go because since we are in that Stikeen conference, not going to a Stikeen event wouldn't be good PR just because we wanted to go to a Schoenbar Middle School. I know I've had some parents ask, well, why don't we go to the Schoenbar Shootout instead of the Stikeen, and it's because we're part of that conference. And
wouldn't be fair to the other schools.
Yeah, exactly. And if we didn't show up and we expect them to show up at our place, that wouldn't be really good PR on that one. So the reason why it only happens every other is because we're hosting that year, and then we can go to the Schoenbar Shootout the following year. So we'll stick to the Stikeen tournament and keep hosting because it's nice to have all the schools come here every now and then. So
that makes sense.
Yeah.
Great job.
Hey, thanks.
Yeah.
Any
Thank
other
you very
questions?
Much.
Yep.
Thank you for
your
presentation.
Sorry.
I don't think we need to take any action on this. I think we're just
this is
informational.
Policy.
This is a policy. And, yeah. All righty. Upcoming dates and media announcements. I think that's where we are. Okay, tomorrow at 1 o'clock, we have a work session planned for the board to work on board goals and board evaluation and updating things, and it will be in the district office at 1 o'clock tomorrow. Cheryl.
Is it just going to be us?
I hope not. If it's just us, it might be short.
Okay.
Okay.
Well,
Was that your question, too?
Yeah, because I have to arrange childcare, so it's like I'd hate to arrange childcare for 5 minutes to go, okay, we don't have enough of us to...
Well, I guess I feel like it generally is the three of us, and so maybe we need to take this up.
We'll call in the morning.
Dr. Thomas, okay. I will ask you your opinion.
We'll call the remaining board members, John Ringhurst and Don Ware, in the morning, 9 or 10 or so. What time do you need to have your arrangements made by?
That'd probably be good.
Yeah, we'll call and then we'll let you know.
Because I have something else from 11 to 12.
So if there is not a full board or not at least four, do you want to revisit meeting at all? Question mark.
Well, we'd need to move it to a different date, but I think probably...
Right,
yeah.
I mean, as opposed to tomorrow, mm-hmm. meeting at a different time.
I think so, okay. And actually I'm not terribly organized on exactly what we're going to do tomorrow either.
I don't see this as... It has to be finished and completed tomorrow, so if there is another day that we can have at least one other board member there, so we have at least 4 out of 5,
mm-hmm. I think
preferably
that
5 out of 5,
yeah.
Then, yeah, if it was more timely, then I would say, forget it, it's a quorum, let's keep going.
No, it's just, you're right. We need to do it, but it isn't, have to be done tomorrow. So we'll call tomorrow morning, the other two, and let you know the results of that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Does anybody know if John's in town?
I do not know.
He's usually here if he's in town, so that would make me think he's not in town. Okay, so that is tentative for tomorrow. And then the tech boot camp.
I actually recall a communication from John Bringhurst. He would not be back in town until the 25th. It's just coming back. So that might help.
Okay.
So if Dawn can't make it tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll find out.
Okay.
And I don't know if she's having health issues. I'm not sure if she'll know. So
I haven't even seen her either. So I don't know.
Yeah. She got back today, but it was late enough that she just couldn't make it tonight.
Alrighty. So tech boot camp. Do you want to tell us something about that, Dr. Thomason?
Well, the tech boot camp is on the Friday and the Monday, and it's a pretty intense overview of what we have. Both hardware, software, and instructional technology-wise in the district. It is presented by our tech coordinator, John Clute Painter, and several folks who are volunteer to help him. It's a six-hour day of about 20 to 30-minute introductions. One of the introductions that's longer than 20 minutes is the whole operating system of an Apple computer and what it can do and how you actually run your computer. There are other ones that are going to discuss how do we use our email system. A lot of our basics, particularly for new staff, it's really designed, and staff who want a refresher in certain things. And then the 26th, it gets more into the software and some of the actual programs we use, Moodle, Google Sites, and some of the iMovie, GarageBand. So it's to help new staff get up to speed. We were realizing that the staff that we have been at it so long, we've moved so far out there, you don't realize how far out you are as a district until you bring in somebody new, and they just are totally, what is going on here? So we instituted this to help bring new staff up to speed, and we're also inviting KFSK. They had expressed an interest in participating, and so any KFSK members that are at the radio station are going to come over.
And actually, I was interested in attending.
And board members,
I
if
think
you want.
Anybody else could be too. Well, mostly, I'm not figuring that I will figure out how to do it, but it's like this whole foreign language that I'm not familiar with that I feel I should at least have some inkling of. And so that's what I'm thinking of getting from it, is go and get as much as I can without expecting to necessarily be able to do it when I get done.
Yeah, we're excited. We hope it becomes pretty much an annual thing, particularly in those years when we have several new employees. If it's one employee, we might do a more one-on-one kind of thing. But we had enough new folks coming in and enough interest to do a pretty big deal. So.
Okay, and the first teacher workday is the 27th, which I believe is Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. And then the 28th is the launch of the new school year with the staff at 8:30 a.m. in the high school library, and Dr. Thomason is going to present that. And the staff development days, where you do in-service, is the 28th, 29th, and 30th. Mm-hmm. August 29th, the board will be doing a staff luncheon, and we're going to start cooking probably about 8:30 in the morning, depending on how many of us there are. They can, or maybe Sarah would prefer to rip lettuce at home. We can work on that.
Rain is not working.
And then the board's actually going to have a special welcome back meeting at 1 o'clock that day, and with a special presentation.
And that's actually a day when all district staff will be on duty. We have PBIS, Positive Behavior Intervention Supports activities in the morning for classified and certified staff. And in the afternoon, Marcus Hom will be presenting the state-required emergency action plan training. So it's a paid day for all staff, and all staff we need there because we're conducting state-required training. So it all worked out well.
And that will also probably require us to cook a little more.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But that will work out. Okay, then September 2nd is Labor Day holiday, and the 3rd, which must be Tuesday,
yes.
Is the first day of school for students. And September 5th is Introduction to My Child, elementary only, and there'll be an early out for the students. And the 6th is an Introduction to My Child, elementary only, no school. So those are opportunities for parents to come and talk to the teachers about their students. And then the 6th, which would be, is that Monday?
It's a Friday.
Oh, okay. That's okay. That's why it threw me. Okay, so the 6th, which is a Friday, we're going to set the board agenda at 10 a.m. if that works for anyone. Who would like to assist me?
Oh, go ahead. Unless Sarah wants to do it.
No, 9 times out of 10, I got to find a babysitter.
Go ahead.
For something. Thank you.
Carol, thank
you. Sorry.
Okay, and then our next board meeting is actually the 17th.
I may or may not be here.
Okay.
I don't know yet.
So you can't make any promises about anything? That's fine.
I'll know sooner. I'll know soon.
We could put up our two missing board members as campus connections.
Yeah.
You're not here, you get assigned.
Exactly.
Well, the problem with that is that if they're not, I don't know if they'll be here for that one, but hopefully they will.
Well, we tell them tomorrow. Send an email to them.
Connection is?
Don and John.
There we go.
You're not here. You're doing Campus Connection.
Yeah. And sorry, I missed
it. Actually, Campus Connection is
fine.
Quite
it is.
Fun,
it's
really.
Fine, but I'm just saying, you know, you're not
Joe
here to volunteer. We will volunteer
job.
For you.
Well, he really does. He makes it much easier than it could be. So it's very nice. And it is a good opportunity for us to present things about the school to the public. So. So don't take it that we did this as any kind of a slam on your program, because it's certainly not.
We're just volunteering other board members to do things.
Okay, I think we're ready for old business?
Okay.
Okay, kitchen conceptual drawings. We don't have any conceptual drawings yet, right?
No, we don't, and we actually had built it into last year's budget, so this is actually more of a house cleaning item, action that we need to take. We received the quote last fiscal year, and they were only 5% done with the design. They're doing schematic and design development on the kitchen remodel project. So I thought I could book it as an accounts payable, but I can't. So we have to, the funds are already there, so we need to move them into the capital project for next year, because we're anticipating this bill to come in, but we had to close out the year. So like I said, it's kind of a housekeeping item.
So when the accountants were here, they said got to move it over, or
they said if the scope of the work was, you know, 90% done, then I could book it as an accounts payable. It's accounting laws, accounting rules, not laws. But so it's recommendation to move $72,000 into the capital projects fund specifically for the kitchen remodel. So
okay, from where it is this year in the budget,
which is in the, was in the operating fund. Yes. And that ties all in with our fund balance that we're allowed to carry over by state law. So
okay.
Rob, do you want to add anything?
No, very
thank you very much. That explains it. Did I have a motion?
I'm making a motion to approve the transfer of an additional $72,000 into capital project fund from FY13 funds for the Jensen, Yorba, and Lott Architects kitchen design invoice.
I second it.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded. Is there any more discussion? The motion is to approve the transfer of an additional $72,000 into capital projects fund from FY13 funds for the Jensen, Yorba, and Lott Architects kitchen design invoice. Would the would Sharon please call the roll?
Cheryl Fine?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes.
Jean Ellis?
Yes. Motion passes 3-0. Okay, new business. Capital improvements projects list. We have it in our thing here, and we actually got a little change to it to change our top item, the wording, not to change the item, but to change the wording slightly to district food service renovations. And what this is a list that we send into the state, and they rate them, give them different ratings, and then they can add it to the capital improvements list that the legislature works down when they're doing funding. For 70-30 funding. They 70% state, 30% local.
Yeah, if I might quickly add,
yes,
in
please.
Terms of having the district food service renovation number one, there's a lot to be done behind the scenes, even though we are working with Don Hiley at CERC. We get these lists from Don of stuff we need to do at our end, and Ty, there's like 6, 7, 8 items to work on. And just so you know, there's a lot of work that goes on behind. It isn't just a matter of saying, well, let's have CERC write a project. Ty does a boatload of work to get CERC the correct data and information. So just a little handshake to Ty for all that he does. He's quiet about getting it done, but there's all the school dude reports, energy reports, utility use reports. There's a lot of stuff, so...
How many square feet right there?
Oh, it's amazing. You know, you're asking for millions of dollars from the state, and they want some level of accountability, and that's where it comes from. So, just a background.
Okay, any questions about this, about the list? Would anybody like me to read it or anything?
Can you explain on the list anything, Ty? Just how you made the decision of what goes where, maybe, or stuff like that.
Well, maybe a couple things that we could even do is talk about the ones that we've already done.
Oh, yeah,
that
we're
asking for reimbursement. That's why they're on the list.
That's what
people
I was
might say,
like,
why is the Petersburg High School Library on the list? We already did it.
Yeah, the big project that we really want to push is, of course, the food service renovation. So that being number one on the list will help that score. And then the next two, the boiler retubing and the high school library renovation, will be applying for a reimbursement of funds, since the project will already be done for the tubing and the library high school is already done. We can go back to the state and ask them to reimburse us 70% of that.
So if we use our local funds, then we can go back to the state and ask for reimbursement for some things. Yeah.
Yes, and that's what we're hoping. We are also Don Hiley from CERC put together the RFP for that boiler retubing and got the contract together for us and has walked me through the steps to make sure we are doing each process as the Department of Education requires, so we'll be eligible to reimbursement. They can't come back.
So you lined up well to ask for reimbursement.
Yeah, they can't come back and say, well, you didn't send the quote to three companies, so we can't reimburse you, but we have done that. And
the district-wide boiler replacement, now that hasn't happened yet. That's something else.
No, yeah. And all these, the rest of these, 4 through 9, have all been on the list for quite a few years, and they just haven't scored high. They're not super urgent that need to be done right now, but, you know, each year that goes by, the stuff keeps getting...
Well, and it says repair auditorium failing floor system. I'm assuming that it isn't the floor system somebody's going to fall through.
No, it's just a cement slab that's settling, much like this building.
But it doesn't really show any danger. It's no danger
no,
for anyone.
No, it's no structural damage.
Just when you read it like that, failing floor system, you think, oh.
And that helps the scoring points go up if it sounds worse than it is. And... you know, like number 9, the district, the digital HVAC system, you know, part of that will be done next year with the elementary wall replacement. There is some heating and plumbing on that, so those controls will go digital at that point.
So what's the HVAC system? What's that mean?
It's the heating and ventilation.
Okay.
It runs off pneumatics. It's run off, you need an air compressor and special thermostats that control the heat and the cooling of the classrooms. And a lot of our school is digital, which can be programmed and monitored and finely tuned.
So you can turn to make sure that the classroom heat goes down in all the classrooms at a certain time?
Yeah, yeah, and schedule it very easily and keep an eye on it. So most of the school has slowly come on to the digital system. There's just a few pieces left, so after next year, most of the elementary will be digital, so that we can take that off the list here in a few. And same with the plumbing. Part of that project is to replace the heat plumbing, but the old plumbing, just the potable water and the sewer system in the elementary, it's working fine and no problems, but it is still 45 years old. And
time to be replaced.
And we have to start thinking about, yeah.
Okay, any questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
I think I'm ready for a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve Petersburg's FY 2015 Capital Improvement Project CIP list.
Second.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded to approve Petersburg's FY15 Capital Improvements Project CIP list. Are we spending money? No, we're asking for money. Okay. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion passes 3-0. Okay, personnel resignation. Let's see. We have a letter from Sarah Boss, who is moving to Las Vegas to be close to where her family is. So she put in her resignation, and Dr. Thomason accepted it.
On behalf of the board?
On behalf of the board. And we thank her for her years of service here, and we will miss her. We'll wish her well in her new job. Okay, that's just informational. And the next thing is personnel hire, and I think that's actually an action item. And the recommendation is to approve the employment of Carrie Curtis as a 0.8 reading PE teacher for the 2013-14 school year. And
the process there was an extension of, just to give you how we got there, that's all related to Sarah Boss' resignation, and there were several others above in the consent agenda. Where the 0.3 for Joni Johnson for Spanish, Dan Van Swearingen doing some more PE, Becky Martin adding some reading callback, and then Jill Lenhart is moving from the elementary over to the high school to take up about three quarters of the language arts. So there's a lot of shifting going around at the last minute, and actually it worked out really in many ways better than we ever anticipated in terms of for our staff and for our students. And then we had about 3 weeks to go, and so we went back to the pool of applicants for the kindergarten position, and had a very highly qualified person there, i.e. Carrie. And given the lateness of the year, we sought the input of the association to not re-advertise for a week internally, as our contract would say, because that puts us 2 weeks out. And we felt that since there were no internal applicants for the first position that we advertised, which was very similar, that was a okay move. And it was, so we moved ahead with that, went back and offered the position to Carrie, and we're thrilled that she's coming on board. So that gives you kind of the background of a lot of stuff going on. We probably spent 2 or 3 hours in a meeting trying to move all the pieces into the right slots and then contact folks and see if they were interested and willing and to make those additions. So we were able to take several part-time people and move them to full-time. We have everybody in slots for which they have skills, abilities, and certifications, and we are just thrilled. Time flies when you're having fun.
But it was worth it.
Yeah. Well, there
and
was almost...
Was net,
pardon?
It was... Overall, you had a net reduction, didn't you?
Correct.
Yes. That's what I recall.
Yes.
An actual
slight.
Payroll. Or, yes, it wasn't
it's slight,
huge, but
there's
it was
no
still,
ad.
I mean,
all
I just
that,
thought people
no
have
ad.
This perception that we went and hired a bunch of people, and it's like, new.
Well, that's true.
It's a lot of shuffling.
Yeah, there's actually a 0.15 FTE, or full-time equivalent, reduction in the expenditures. And
since we lost two full-time
teachers. You're absolutely right. We corresponded via email. Principal Dormer, Principal Clute Painter, and I all summer long brainstorming ideas, and at the end of the summer it came out, this is where we are. So.
Well, I think the people that are teaching the various things are thrilled to be teaching those too, so that's very exciting. Jill Lenhart's thrilled to be teaching English, and Joni Johnson has a lot of experience with Spanish, and so it should all work out well.
Great.
And Carrie, all right, motions.
I'll make a motion to approve the employment of Carrie Curtis as a 0.8 reading and PE teacher for the 2013-14 school year.
Second. Motion been made and seconded to approve the employment of Carrie Curtis as a 0.8 reading and PE teacher for the 2013-14 school year. Sharon, do you want to call the roll?
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes.
Cheryl File?
Yes.
Jean Ellis?
Yes. Okay. And the next one is a part-time food service aide, in which the recommendation is to employ Jody Riamaki as a part-time food service aide. Do we have any questions?
I can add a little bit to that one.
Sure.
We are adding actually 2 hours of time to the food service program. What has happened is that Carly Wells has grown the program to a point that it's gotten a little bigger, and there was more time needed for the accounting on the backside, and just it was a little more complex because it got bigger, which is a good thing.
So we are adding 2 hours. It is only a two-hour position, and we'll see how that, just as that little bit of oomph that's needed to get it over a hump at about the lunchtime. That's what that's all about.
Well, and if they're doing things like salad bars and some
takes
of that,
more
that's more mm-hmm. Staff involvement.
Mm-hmm.
More work required. All right. Do I have a motion?
I make a motion to approve the employment of Jody Riomaki as a part-time food service aide.
I second it.
Motion has been made and seconded to approve the employment of Jody Riomaki as part-time food service aide. Sharon, would you please call the roll?
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes.
Jean Ellis?
Yes.
Cheryl Vile?
Yes. And hopefully we said her name right, right?
Yeah, I'm sure
that's right. I want to make sure I pronounced it right.
Motion passes 3-0. She's actually
Irene's
daughter.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay,
bus transportation contract. We have an amendment attached. And Dr. Thomason, you want to tell us about this a little bit?
Actually, I'm going to call upon Karen Quitzlin to discuss the financial end of that one.
Okay. But this is for the Stikeen Services that does our bus contract and have
yes.
been doing a terrific job for us.
Yes. They provide our bus service to and from school, and they also provide an hourly rate for extra trips when the kids go out to the hatchery or if they go to Sandy Beach. And their service is outstanding. They're completely in compliance with the state above and beyond. I mean, I get calls from the state saying what great bus transportation we have here in Petersburg. They have not asked for an increase in their contract since 2010. And I'm going to back up a little bit and give you a little history about bus transportation and how it's been funded in the past. Prior to 2012, it was based on our average daily membership, our ADM. And so when I first came on board at the school district, we were having to transfer approximately $45,000 out of our operating budget into the transportation fund because it's a completely separate fund than our operation fund. Well, House Bill 120 passed at the end of 2012. And that bill basically says we'll cover the cost, your actual cost of your contract. So that year we did not have to transfer any funds into the transportation. Well, since then, it's a three-year, and correct me if I'm wrong, Rob. Okay. It's a three-year bill, or maybe it's longer than that. But what it basically does is it builds in for the Consumer Price Index. So this year we received $174,171, and we can fund all of our extra trips out to the hatchery and to Sandy Beach, whereas before it was absorbed in our operating budget. So we can fund that, and it covers more than the cost of the contract, which is $159,500. So their request for a 2% increase, we still will have funds designated and left over from year to year until 2016, which is the year where all the state bus transportation is going to have to get on the same cycle. It's going to standardize. There'll be five-year contracts, and they'll be based on what your actual bus contract is.
Well, I know this has been a very political thing over the years, and the Petersburg was actually not being funded at a reasonable rate
right.
under the old system, so this is good. I know that they have gone from paying for the whole thing back to not paying for the whole thing, back to paying for the whole thing. You know, the state keeps going back and forth on that. So I'm glad to hear they're doing it.
In the end of this year, we have 9,000 still designated for next year for transportation. Plus, we'll get our contract for next year. The state's projecting we'll get $178,000. Mm-hmm. So it'll still fund the contract with the 2% increase that Stikeen Services is requesting, as well as an increase in their hourly rate from 75 to 100. And the other thing I do want to mention is Stikeen Services, they donate a lot of bus trips to the school district as well. They'll charge us for one way and not charge us for you know, half the trip. So anyways, that's kind of the background. Okay.
Thank
any
you
questions?
Very much. Ready for a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the 2% increase in Stikeen Services bus contract and increase additional bus trips from $75 to $100 an hour for the 2013-14 school year.
Second.
Okay, motion has been made and seconded. Any discussion? We sort of get our
Seems
discussion
fair.
Ahead of time, but that's just fine. Okay, the motion is to approve a 2% increase in Stikine Services bus contract and increase the additional bus trips from $75 to $100 an hour for the 2013-14 school year. Sharon, could you please call the roll? Yes.
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 Motion passes 3-0. I keep expecting a couple more names. I don't know why. Okay, next, cell phone stipend. Dr. Thomason, you want to talk a little bit about this, or should I just read what it says here?
You can just read the introduction, and I'll...
Okay. The board recognized the need for administrators and directors' expected use of personal cell phones for the school district business at the January 2013 meeting and provided a $50 monthly stipend. Administration proposes adding the technology assistant and Department of Health and Social Services grant coordinator because of the nature of their positions. So this would be a $50 a month stipend for those additional, for those two people, for the use of their personal cell phones for business purposes.
And when the motion is made, we've changed the name from the original name that's listed there to Healthy Living Grant, whoever makes the motion. And actually, the $50 for the Healthy Living Grant coordinator, I believe we'll be able to take that out of the grant. And we did investigate at one point in time getting cell phones for all the people in the district that had that kind of need. Then people would have two cell phones. We'd be worrying about what minutes are spent doing what. And I did some research on that and found out that the majority of businesses and school districts that worry about those minutes actually just pay a flat rate stipend to use a personal phone. And what we found was all of us are using the phones anyway, supplementing the district. And what we also discovered was that our technology assistant is on call 24/7 and also makes calls to assist people from that phone. So we thought it was only fair that he's using the phone that we ought to get that cost taken care of. And then with the grant coordinator, same thing. There'll be a lot of times traveling or returning phone calls or making phone calls or being available. And so we're using part of the grant funds for that to reimburse that person. So that's the history.
Well, and partly what this does is it shows how things are changing.
Yes.
And how cell phones are being used so much more for a great many things than they were 10 years ago. And so this is just keeping up with the times, really.
We're actually, the district and businesses actually, the research is saying, says actually save money, because if you try to get the phone, even if you, with a corporate plan, you're going to be spending neighborhood of $70 to $80 a month.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, it's a win-win deal. The district gets the service, the people get a little boost, and it's just a good thing.
Okay, any questions? I have a motion.
I make a motion to approve the payment $50 per month stipend to the technology assistant and the Healthy Living grant coordinator for a cell phone.
I second it.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded. Any more comments?
Yes? Do we still... What about the nurse's cell phone? Didn't we give her a cell phone or something?
We did, because that one was a little different. It's only active... I'm trying to remember why we did all that differently.
We wanted a specific phone for the nurse that was kept...
It's a district phone.
Oh.
Phone. And we collect it back in the summer. It's more like an emergency phone number.
Okay.
It was a little different because of the medical service thing. Yeah.
She's in probably different buildings at different times. And
yeah.
And the alternative school also.
Okay.
Because they're
true.
Dedicated
yeah.
phones a little differently. That we looked at those situations and they're just a little different.
Okay.
So
I
that,
was
that's good recollection.
Question.
Yeah, great.
Okay, the motion is to approve the payment of $50 per month stipend to technology assistant and the Healthy Living grant coordinator for cell phones. Sharon, could you please call the roll?
Cheryl File.
Yes.
Jean Ellis.
Yes.
Cheryl Holmgren.
Yes.
Okay, motion passes 3-0. Okay, student activities and staff handbooks. Do we have them here today?
They're not here. They're on online.
Okay.
Pardon? So which we can't get to, sorry.
Yeah, there's no internet here. And actually, just to highlight, we'll highlight some changes that... Main change that's happening, and by the time you get to this point in the school handbook,
phase, changes are minor and there are adjustments because you've worked things out, but there will be a change in the district staff handbook. We're going to add a technology acceptable use policy piece where people actually sign that they understand this is a district-provided service, they're using it for business purposes, et cetera, et cetera. Pretty standard stuff, rather than having a separate document. It's all about efficiency and keeping it in one place.
Now, will that be signed by the students or staff?
No, this is a staff one. There's a separate acceptable use agreement signed by students to get their computer. But what we found is that we really, although we have it on the computer when you fire it up, when you start your computer, it's a little acceptable use statement. We don't have any place where people indicate that they have read it, they understand it, and they agree to follow it.
Probably part of your insurance or various things like that.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's the main change in the district one. I don't know that there are any changes in the student ones.
I just had sent a message to Sharon, but the main difference in ours is just that we need to update the information about PBIS in our handbooks because we're to the point of being able to do that now. So I think we were actually just discussing that and we have some common language there.
So all three handbooks, the elementary, the middle, and the high school will have something up about PBIS,
and the matrix and all the things that are in there. As attachments, so just update that.
And PBIS, after I say anything, let me see exactly what's that again. That's
positive behavior intervention and support. Yes.
Positive behavior intervention and support. Okay.
So there won't be any other major changes, I
don't think. Rick Dormer, would you like to?
Just two in the high school you should be aware of that. Just come along as we work through the year, and I work with teachers and Jamie and that kind of stuff. I kind of make minor changes. So two of them in the handbook that are not really kind of been, we've kind of been doing it this way and realized the handbook was old. One of them was on makeup work. The explanation, this is in the student high school handbook, allowed the same number of days it guaranteed when a student was gone to make up any missed work, which is typically what is happening, but we are having instances now that the kids have their own laptops where if a kid is going to be gone for a week, and whether it's sports travel or where it's for it could be a family vacation or maybe it's a family emergency, and obviously we've changed it to leave it up to the teacher discretion for the number of days, and there is still a caveat where parents can appeal to the administration as opposed to guaranteeing the number of days, because the student may be gone a week, let's say for a sports trip, and they may come back. The previous handbook guaranteed that they would have a full week to turn in every piece of work, but with their laptops now, teachers can expect it after 2 or 3 days because they've had access to all the assignments while they were gone.
Okay, so sometimes they could ask to come back faster than the week.
Yes, and obviously lab assignments, and again, if it's a funeral, teachers would never assume that kids are working during those times, but just because it guaranteed, especially with sport trips, that they would always have this length of time, and it wasn't necessarily the way it is now with laptops and the online activities.
Okay. And is this isn't in any conflict with anything in our board policy, because there's something about, I think we took some of that out, because there were some sort of specific things that seemed more like they should be an AR and not a policy.
Okay.
And I think we took care of those recently. But
I believe you're right. We'll double check, but that is definitely more of an AR kind of, here's how you implement a policy thing than
the policy. It isn't really a board policy. Yeah. But sometimes our policies over the years have drifted into being a little more
prescriptive.
Prescriptive, yes.
And then the second minor one is the student handbook required that all incomplete grades, sometimes a student may finish a grading period and the teacher may assign them an incomplete, it required if they did not complete the requirements that their grade would go to an F. And the way it's set up now, sometimes a student may have a C in a class and may have something going on, and they're, for some reason the teacher's given them incomplete, and if they don't finish everything, their grade just goes back to what they originally earned. So if they start with a C, they would end up with a C after the incomplete expires, as opposed to requiring a C to go to an F, which we haven't been doing anyway. That doesn't make any sense. That was punitive to the student. So
it was probably put in there in the assumption that then they would turn the work in, but maybe that works and maybe it doesn't.
Yeah, and typically most kids will turn in some work, but we certainly have had instances where they haven't done all of it, and we don't want to have to give them an F if they haven't earned an F. So.
Right.
That was the 2J.
Sounds good.
Okay, I think we too are to the Alaska School Performance Index.
Happy to report on that. It's a rather complex system, and I'm going to start off with our scores. Petersburg School District did an outstanding job there. There's a total possible points of 100. And out of 100, Mitkoff Middle School scored 93.03. And these .03, these point number, is going to become important in a minute. So 93.03 out of 100 gives us a what they call a four-star rating. The ratings go from one star, very underperforming, to five stars. I'll give you the breakdown of why 93.03 is important in a minute. And our elementary school scored 91.71. And the high school scored 84.01. In the high school, there are about eight criteria that go into scoring a high school. I think it's about four that go into scoring elementary and middle school. So it's a little more complex at the high school. Our schools did, in my opinion, great. We, now if you remember the numbers, 84.03, right? 85 is a four-star school. So 0.97, 97 one-hundredths of a point makes you from four stars to three. The difference between four stars and three is at three you have to file a plan of improvement. How are you going to bring it up? We've actually looked at the data, and there are several areas where just by increasing our participation rate in taking work keys assessment, for example, we are going to go up. We just had no idea that the assessment participation rate was going to have such a dramatic effect on it. The demarcation to a five-star school is at 94. Now, you remember we had a 93 and a 91. And so a four-star is 85 all the way to 93.99. So we are a couple of points from five-star in two schools and less than a point at four-star from one school. So we have everything to be grateful for and a lot of opportunity for going up big time in the future. So anyway, that an overview. And then Bridget Whitstock is our data test coordinator. She is studying this information. We'll be presenting it to the staff, and then in more detail we'll be coming to the board to do a presentation to the board. But the summary is there are districts in the state with a majority of one-star and two-star schools. Southeast Alaska in general has seven of the top 10 in the state, and we are one of those seven.
Wow.
So it's just a neat thing. So that's the Alaska School Performance Index, and for the first time out of the chute, it's great. There is an increasing scale over the next, I want to say 6 years, where the ratchets up a little, but it's much more reasonable than the AYP, the Adequate Yearly Progress under NCLB, No Child Left Behind.
And it doesn't ratchet up to 100%?
Not exactly.
Well, that's what...
Oh, which it did, and every school in the nation would have failed was the deal.
Yeah.
And so it looks good. I think it's a better system. If you're going to have to grade schools, if you want to call this a grade, this is better than what existed and not as good as what might evolve. So...
Well, you can see where one area is a little lower than the other areas, and so that might be things to focus on.
Yeah, and we're looking
at
that.
Actually.
Well, particularly at the high school. And for example, if you look in the bottom left-hand corner of your sheet, it says work keys participation, 88.64. If you look across where it says points, it says zero. Well, at 89, you got 50 points. We had 88.64.
Uh-oh.
At 95, you get 100 points, which translates to two more points for the total, or 84 takes us to 86. Now it's a four-star school. Very simply increasing participation rate by about 5 or 6 percentage points, which is, that's just focus. So,
well, I would think that's very doable.
Yes. Yeah. So... that's why it's very good to look, drill down into this stuff and see what is it saying. In our growth with disabilities, our special ed, we have some work to do there. But again, I think it's very doable. We're poised quite well. So there we go. There'll be more information coming out of this. We just got this a week ago, so we're still digesting. We just got this last week on Friday, so we're still digesting.
You've had two whole business days.
I stand corrected.
Well, no, I got the packet all done, and then it comes out. Breaking news.
Anyway, there you go. That's your report. Thank you.
Okay. Yes, it is interesting, the work keys participation, because what that is a standardized test that tests your abilities in different areas, right? To give you an idea of what kind of career you should go into.
Yeah.
Yes.
So the deeper we dug, the more we realized, oh my word.
And probably you didn't realize how important it was that the students take that.
No.
Drag them all in.
Because it isn't needed for like entrance into anything, or it's not required really.
It's more informational for students.
Yeah.
So, we're over to AASB resolutions. Item 13.8.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Alaska's Association of Alaska School Boards has emailed information to board members with the AASB's core resolutions and is requesting any additional local resolutions for consideration at the November annual conference in Anchorage. And traditionally, we really haven't presented any, but if any individual board member has an interest or would like to check these over and have any idea of something they would like to present, we could talk about it at the next meeting, but they need these pretty soon. I'm thinking we probably will not be doing that. I just wanted to bring it to everybody's attention. And then when we go to Anchorage, we have an opportunity to be part of the resolutions committee and study the resolutions, and then they come to the floor and we vote on them, but in order to vote on them, we also talk about them quite a bit. So you will have an opportunity if you go to the conference to talk about them and to read them before you get there.
Oh, yeah, that was exciting.
I don't know. I've been part of
it. I was like, I didn't know what I was reading.
Well, these are resolutions that pertain to all kinds of things, like actually some of them are important things, like what the amount of money that the legislature pays per student, or different, there's just different things.
It was interesting. Yeah.
Okay, we're down to additional comments from board members.
Well, I do have one. Oh, I have a couple. Rob sent an email out about the best towns for young families, and Petersburg is number one.
Mm-hmm.
Woohoo. And somebody said another book came out with things on fishing towns and which were the most supportive fishing towns in the country, and Petersburg was used as an example. This person took it to Sally at the chamber so she would have it.
And then are we still good for the alternative school here?
Last year, we were good for the alternative school in this building through at least January. And then we're working with the borough manager, and they weren't sure what their plans were. So once we fire back up a couple weeks, we'll reignite those discussions. Or do you know have more information?
Well, I was going to say that they will continue in the current location in the fire hall. And then we hope to be...
We're hoping that they will move to the library, but they won't old library.
Yeah, upstairs. Yeah. We are not sure because the borough wasn't sure whether they're going to turn those into borough offices. So... that's where we are.
It
could be we're looking for a backup plan come January, but we're hoping to be in this facility either downstairs or upstairs in the coming year.
Cool. And then, I guess for a future agenda item, I guess.
Okay.
Then so the next thing is future agenda items.
kindergarten physicals, please. Hmm.
I can give you an update on the research.
I think it was more, because I know that when my boys first went into kindergarten, it wasn't a big deal. It was like $20 for a physical, and you had to do it at a certain time. Otherwise, you had to pay the full amount. It was kind of like a school physical.
Did they do it at the sports?
Yeah. It was at the clinic. To the clinic.
Oh, okay.
So it was something the hospital provided, actually.
Yes.
Or the medical center provided.
Yeah. I mean, because I don't remember paying...
a full doctor visit?
Yes. I think that was one of the concerns, the cost of a physical.
It's going to be well over $100. It's going to be a $130 visit for us, because our insurance doesn't pay for it.
Yeah.
Since he's over 5.
Because I remember getting a little packet, and please have your physical. If you get it by this certain time, it's this much, and if you miss that, then you're on your...
I haven't done that for a while.
Yeah.
Well, what did John Cedor
Well, actually, the more that...
we'll back up to comments from board members. That's
okay.
Where we are.
Sorry, Gene.
dug into it, and it was actually Alan Clendaniel, who was working on it for John. John's on vacation. Wrote me and said, whoa, this is becoming more complex than I anticipated. He's going down and doing the research back into when the law was actually written and listening and reading the minutes of the meetings to find out, because he says he read it, it sounds like school districts are liable for the cost. Then he said, however, however, mm-hmm. He was pretty sure that wasn't the intent of the law, but that's the sound of the law. Then what we found is it's being implemented in multiple ways throughout the state. Some school districts are not implementing it at all, which is against the law.
But no school districts are actually paying for it.
No schools are actually paying for it. And so it may be that we are going to, we as Petersburg, and I think it's a great question to be asking, to clarify what the law intent was, how physical can be given, and why they specifically exclude, like, a nurse from giving a physical when we have a nurse on staff.
Or even the public health nurse.
Or the public health nurse.
It
specifies.
It's ridiculous. We've called and asked about it for years about the public health
nurse. Yeah, it specifies in the law a MD type doctor. So I don't have a resolution, but I can tell you that there's a lot of questions being asked now because of that question throughout different parts of the state. So.
Well, why they even have it?
Yeah.
Well, it's just, you know, like, if I had to do it, it would be like $260 for two kids.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a lot of money.
Yeah.
And I know that, you know, in the past, the hospital has done, you know, like a, it's like a sports physical. Mm-hmm. It's very simple. So.
Yeah, I cannot speak for the hospital. We will ask the question of, is it possible to go back and revisit that kind of process? I told the attorney that we would actually want a definitive kind of letter or statement from him for the September meeting. He hasn't had time to really get into it. So by September, I hope to have a lot more detail for you, and by then I will have spoken with Elizabeth over at the hospital and maybe get some answers there too, or at least some reasons, what are possibilities. So.
Okay, so for right now, though, the parents are...
Yeah, we're having to follow the policy that we've done, or we are doing, and it's Skagway, very similar. So the law is the law, and we're trying to follow it. We just it's created a lot of confusion in people's minds when we started asking the question. So kudos to asking the question.
Yeah. It's been asked for a few years, but we're finally.
It's your turn, so you get
my turn. I will say I've had parents ask me about it before, and I need to make a few more phone calls, because I initially made some calls at the state before I even brought it to you, because I thought, I'm not opening this can of worms unless I think there's something questionable. And I pushed the delete button on my answering machine on accident. But there is someone that said, this person, I can't remember, it was a nurse with the state of Alaska who is the expert on this issue.
Mary Bell?
I don't know.
Okay. So
I feel just, sorry. As soon as I hit delete, I thought, whoa.
Yeah.
I'd just come back from vacation and was going through them all and accidentally deleted that one. So I don't know if maybe that's who that is. I thought if I make a few more comments,
I
would have to get that name again.
We did ask the Director of Nursing Services for Schools via our nurse and got the answer that, yes, there's a lot of confusion. There's some districts, just like I explained that we found with Alan, that... some districts are just kind of turning a blind eye to the physical, and I just ethically cannot turn a blind eye to a law that exists. I just can't do that. So I don't know how we're going to be able to address that. I think, I would hope that they come up with a plan to broaden what is a physical, allow public health nurses and school nurses to conduct the physicals, or in the case of a village, the village clinic. You know, because having done village life, there's a clinic out there, generally.
Well, and this might be something for legislature to actually make some changes to the law, if the law is like this, and a good person to do it is probably Representative Peggy Wilson, because of her nursing background, I think it would be right up her alley. So if we run into that, that might be the way to go. But, I mean, that is a long time out there. I know it doesn't solve this year's problem.
No.
But, but it might solve the long-term problem, because it sounds like the way the law is currently written is not being followed by the districts, maybe, possibly, depending on how you interpret what it says.
Yeah, I had one parent told me they transferred from Fairbanks to here, and in Fairbanks they went to the public health nurse. Everybody went to the public health nurse, which it specifically says you can't. Yet the Fairbanks, I don't know if they still do, this was several years ago,
I don't know,
accepted it, and when they got here, they were told, nope, you have to go to the clinic, and so they had to go get the physical again. Mm-hmm. And so it's, and it probably because it was done by a public health nurse, but yet Fairbanks was treating it this way.
We treated
a different way, you know. There's,
well, it seems to me that it should be allowed by a public health nurse, and that would be reasonable, especially
because it's a pretty gentle one. Can they hear? Can they see?
Yeah, it's not an in-depth blood analysis.
Well, and I don't think that's something necessarily as a school district needs to know that information.
No.
Because then you run into a whole issue of privacy and HIPAA violations if someone sees it when they shouldn't or they're looking at it. It just,
no, it's a great question. Oh. I had an immediate answer, and I don't.
Mm. All right, is there more questions on this one?
Stacy did say, though, today that with the new health laws coming out, she said that
it'll be covered.
They may be covering them starting like in October.
Yeah.
So well, you can sign up for the new health insurance in October, but it doesn't become effective until January.
Okay. So she had some information.
Yeah.
That must have been
it's you can start signing up.
Yeah. Okay.
So that might be for next school year.
Yeah.
For health insurance for who?
Kids.
With the new
Obamacare.
Obamacare. Okay.
There's two words in the current law: a district shall require and provide for.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two key words. And does provide for mean pay for it, or does it mean set up the policies, procedures, and all that stuff? And so that's where the attorney is kind of trying to find that out. And then we are going to take his, whatever that is, and maybe go to the Peggy Wilsons and the...
So this needs to be
work our way up the food chain and see if we can get clarification of what that means. Our goal would be, frankly, with a nurse on board and a public health nurse in town, that it be opened up to any public licensed health professional.
Whatever. Seems like, with our
something that
small
order.
Class sizes in kindergarten.
Yeah, so don't have a good answer, but we are working on it.
Okay. Thank you.
But thanks for asking the question.
Mm-hmm.
It's been fun.
All right, now we're down to future agenda items, because I think we just covered that one, and we can...
Yep.
And if he has anything to report later, you can...
I'll let you know in a board update, if it's before a board meeting, and then at a board meeting formally, when I know what I know.
Okay, so I'm ready for a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I second.
Motion made and seconded to adjourn. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Okay, we are adjourned.
This live broadcast of the Petersburg School Board meeting is brought to you by KFSK and Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, offering asset protection and security through insurance. Home, auto, boat, life. Information from a real live person who's in the same phone book as you. Petersburg Wrangell Insurance at 772-3858.